It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Now that we know who the NSA whistleblower is, 29-year-old former undercover CIA employee Edward Snowden, a good portion of the American public is still trying to figure out what to make of the information he's made public. Just who is the National Security Agency spying on, and why should we be concerned? Reportedly, many Americans are still skeptical about the allegations that America is essentially a surveillance state. But my next guest says they shouldn't be. Cybersecurity expert Mark Wergler is the chief senior security researcher at the security firm Immunity, and he joins us by phone. Mark Wergler, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
If you have a comment or question for our guest, join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. How concerned are you that the government may be listening in on your phone conversations or looking at your email? Mark Wergler, the 29-year-old former CIA employee Edward Snowden, has unmasked himself as the source of several stories in The Washington Post and the British newspaper The Guardian that detailed previously unknown U.S. surveillance programs. He said that there was a systematic surveillance of innocent citizens. If true, are you surprised this is happening?
Personally, I'm not surprised that it's happening at all. I would be more surprised if it wasn't happening, to be honest. I mean, this is what the NSA does. The NSA is about collecting information, and they do it well.
This whistleblower says the feds can make anyone look suspicious. So I would ask you, can they? And if so, how can they do it?
I think that Americans are typically, we want to blame cast, we want to cast blame on someone, right? If there is an incident, we're looking for someone to blame. So if the government wants to put blame on somebody, they're going to put information out there and feed us with information through media and other tactics. But having all the having information on who their targets are plays a big role, because they can make things more seem more personal and something that's going to hit home with American citizens.
So how long has the government been doing this?
I would say that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is their business is collecting secrets. Secrets are what they do, and they've been doing it for as long as the organization has been established. I'd say for at least the last 10 years. I mean, there's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It started back in 1978, where they were able to, you know, collect foreign intelligence information between foreign powers. And, you know, that act has been changed here and there and been modified back and forth, and it's been going on for quite a while.
412-246-2002, the number to call if you want to get in on our conversation with Mark Wergler, chief senior security researcher at the security firm Immunity. You mentioned FISA, which goes back to 1978. All of these things that have been created, the Patriot Act, things like that, that have happened since 9/11, we all know why they have been put in place. We may not agree with it, but we understand the sense of urgency that followed the attacks of 9/11. But what happened in 1978 that started this whole FISA thing, the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Act, or Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act?
To be honest, I'm not sure exactly what the details were on why that was put into place, but you know, the fact that it was even put in place, and the fact that it has basically remained in its capacity, says that they have been doing these things and they're used to doing these things. I mean, it changed quite a bit during the Bush administration, when, you know, they were able to listen in and without a warrant on your communications.
According to the New York Times, to go along with what you're discussing here, as part of the program approved by President Bush for domestic surveillance without warrants, the NSA has gained the cooperation of American telecommunications companies to obtain what is referred to as backdoor access to streams of domestic and international communications. Assuming that all of this is true, then what does that mean for the average American citizen? And when we're talking about backdoor access, what does that mean?
Backdoor access basically means that they can come in and out without having to go through all the paperwork. It means that they have direct access to the information that we are communicating and transmitting through these services, through these companies. So that means for the average citizen, that means the phone calls, that means the emails, the text messages, all of the communications are made accessible to government agencies. Now, we are part of the issue because we are sharing this information, and our private data is being transmitted to services and servers that we don't control. They're stored in databases that we don't control. So we are actually contributing to the data collection efforts of the government.
Is there a statute of limitations on the information the government keeps?
Honestly, I would say that as far as statute of limitations on how long they store information, I would say personally there wouldn't be, because they are also in the business of trying to uncover unknown threats. And it's really difficult to discern what irrelevant means when you're trying to find unknown threats that could be realized. So they're in the business of collecting dots. They need these dots to connect, and it might not be today that they connect them, but it could be in a year or two from now, or maybe even 10 years from now. And so I would say they're probably used to collecting more information just in case than rather collect the data that they need right now. Because if they collect the data that they need right now, that means that they're only working with known threats against the nation. They also want to know about unknown threats.
So they're hanging on to this stuff. I mean, presumably they're going to keep whatever information is the government, the NSA is going to keep this information for as long as they need it, which means potentially forever.
Right. For them to be able to do their job effectively, they would need to hold on to this information. They need those dots.
Right. Okay. So can this information be obtained from companies like Google? For example, could the government, if I go, you know, if everything that is being discussed this week is true, if what this this whistleblower is saying is true, when I search something on Google, they can trace it back to me. They can say, well, why was Paul Guggenheimer looking at X, Y, or Z? Or if I have a Verizon phone and Verizon is cooperating with the NSA, they can trace all my phone calls.
Right. And if they're going through proper channels, then that would be a court order that they would have to obtain in order to get that information. But if what they're saying is true, and if the program PRISM actually exists, then they're saying that we have some way of going through this back channel in order to get this access without going through the proper channels, without going the channels that we as American citizens would rather they did. But all of that information, and the telecom companies, Google is in the business also of collecting information. That's basically what they do, and storing it and categorizing it and making it searchable and indexable. But the companies like the telecom companies, they're probably not going to want to store all this information because it costs too much, but the government doesn't have that problem. You know, they want to store everything. But essentially, this is accessible. PRISM, if PRISM is designed in the way that it sounds like it is, there is some way that they are taking advantage of in order to gain access to this information without going through the proper channels.
And you're being careful to say if, but what is your gut feeling? I mean, what do you think about whether this is really?
My gut feeling is that the program exists. My gut feeling is that they are collecting information, and one side of it says, you know, that I think that the American people are surprised at this, but in all reality, this is kind of what they need to do. I mean, you mentioned earlier about 9/11. 9/11, that's the one major terror attack on U.S. soil, right? And it's been the last major terror attack on U.S. soil. I bet there would be a lot more if the government didn't have some type of system like this in place. You know, I think it's the attacks that aren't happening that says that their method is successful and their method is working.
And that was leading to my next question, which is how well is the surveillance working? So you're saying that all of these things that we're hearing about, that your gut feeling is telling you that this program exists, that to the extent that the NSA feels it's necessary to do this, it is, at least for their part, it's working. It's serving their purpose.
Right. And me personally, what I do on a regular basis, we help our clients understand their weaknesses. Access to data is possible. And especially on a government level with their types of resources, access to information is definitely possible. They have the right, they have the manpower, they have the financial backing, they have the resources to pull off this type of access to data, and they're going to take it. They're going to do it. So do
companies like Google and Verizon, I mean, can this be done without their cooperation?
It can be done without their cooperation, and we've seen even, you know, hackers from China have gained access to Google. I mean, hackers from China have had access without permission from Google. And that's, I'm not saying that's the only option, but there are less noisy options for anybody to, you know, the government is going to end up with this information, whether or not it's through some high-profile data siphoning attack that is going undetected, or if it's paying somebody on the inside or planting a shiny brand new, you know, guy on the inside to communicate this information or gain access to. So there's always going to be a way to gain access to the data, and it doesn't always have to be in the way that, you know, the companies would hope.
412-246-2002, the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer on 90.5 WESA. My guest is Mark Wergler, Chief Senior Security Researcher at the security firm Immunity. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question or a concern about exactly what the government can do as far as listening in to phone calls, your personal calls or your phone records, gaining access to those, or your emails, call us, 412-246-2002. Let's go to Richard in Sewickley. Richard, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Richard, are you there? Okay, we'll try to get Richard back. In the meantime, our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. That's esspgh@wesa.fm. We've received a very interesting email from Chris, who says, FISA, and this answers the question that neither of us had an answer to, Mark, and that is that, according to Chris, FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, came about as a reform as a result of the Church Commission that brought about other programs such as MK Ultra. This caused a general uprising in traditional intelligence, which created something called Cowboys for Reagan to unseat Jimmy Carter. They were behind the Billy Carter in Libya stuff. And I'm not exactly sure what that refers to, but does that sound about right to you in terms of a timeline, Mark?
It sounds about right, and I think that really all of what this is demonstrating is the fact that this is business as usual for the government. This is business as usual. This is what is typical. Whether we know about it or not, it's happening. And there's been so many different ways to mask, you know, what they're doing with the information or how they're collecting the information. But the reality is that they are collecting the information, and that's just the fact of life.
So what is there for U.S. citizens to do? Let's say that I'm a citizen. If I were to in some way become aware of the government looking into records that I didn't feel were any of their business, what recourse would I have? Is this?
So, I think the first thing to realize is I think that if you were just to assume that it is true, you'd probably look at your own life and think, like, what is it that I have? You know, you might be worried that your secret meatloaf recipe is going to be in some government database, but in all reality, it's also your neighbor's information that could be stored his plans to do something horrible are also stored in the database. So as the average citizen, we're not really being looked at directly, you know, unless the government, they might have this information stored, but unless they have reason to go investigate it, then you're not going to come up. And there are, I mean, I made a joke the other day about, you know, being concerned about how well the data mining algorithms understand sarcasm, because there are, you know, there was a there was mention of the program Echelon that collected transmissions, and they used algorithms to detect certain certain keywords in the transmissions. And so if those kinds of algorithms are taking place, you know, then it could be possible that we're flagged and reviewed. But in all reality, it's such a passive and indirect operation that the government does not know. The government might have the ability to look up on your life, but they're not going to unless they have reason to. And we live in an age where we personally, as American citizens, we keep choosing to make our lives public by uploading every second of our day to sites like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, basically letting the world know what's going on. I mean, we all know what our high school crush had for breakfast this morning, even though we haven't spoken to her in years. So, you know, it's the data's out there, and we are putting the data out there. So we can't be that surprised when people look at it.
412-246-2002. I believe we have Richard back from Sewickley. Richard, are you there?
Yes. I think the comments I just heard by your guest were very appropriate. This data collection is being done by sophisticated computer algorithms. The NSA is not interested in the content of your message until and unless they have some reason to analyze it using algorithms to detect certain keywords or phrases or traffic patterns that are well known to the signal intelligence community as to how and is used by the Army since World War II to detect not only to detect enemy activity but to conceal your own activity and deceive the enemy. So the too many programs are actually leaving the American public that they have thousands of people actually listening to the total content of the conversations, and I think that's a great disservice to the activity that the NSA is pursuing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. And it would make sense that the government would have to have something like this, that the NSA would have to have a system like this set up that they wouldn't necessarily be reading every intimate detail of everybody's information because there's so much information being sifted through.
Right, and this is a massive amount of data, and the algorithms. This is an extensive data analysis, and we are the data, but it's not. Profiling unknown threats requires so much data, and they're collecting all that data, but the odds are of them stumbling across us as an actual individual are probably a lot less than we think. They're going to stumble across the information that is part of connecting the dots that they need to figure out what's actually happening, the threats that are emerging, the threats that exist, and the threats that are unknown. So unless we have something really to hide, I don't think that we should be that concerned.
But the potential, on the other hand, there are people that are concerned because the potential is there for the government to look at intimate details of our lives that we would prefer or would assume are being kept private. Let's take another call from Eric in Pittsburgh. Eric, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, yes.
Go ahead with your comment or question. We're down to just a few minutes here.
Okay. I think it's curious that people are surprised by this. If you go back to 2002, Admiral Poindexter was put in charge of the Office of Information Awareness at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And in New York Times articles from 2002, he was quoted as saying that they would be getting into people's emails, that they would be collecting metadata about phone calls, and that they would be doing all of this without search warrants. So this is a program that dates back some time. There was some public outcry at the time, and I think the government backed off of their public face about the plans, but obviously they have proceeded in the background. I think that there was plenty of press about this over 11 years ago.
So, and it sounds like you would agree with that, Mark, because you're saying that anybody who is surprised by the recent revelations about what the NSA might be doing should not be surprised.
No, I mean, we just keep throwing out other different ways and different acronyms that describe the same act, the same action. All of these are based on the information gathering techniques of the government. They don't change. It's just when we find out about it, that's really the only during times of conflict, one of the most advantageous positions you can have is intercepting communications. And of course, we're not in conflict at the moment, and in our own lives, we're not really directly involved in these things. But you know, it's just it's what they do, and they're good at it, and they have the resources to do it. And we just keep throwing out different examples of the same action.
So, how long will this go on? How long will the government continue to monitor? This was done as a response to security threats. Is this something that we and future generations of Americans are simply going to have to accept and live with?
I would say yes. I would say this is going to go on until the end of time, and it's always going to be like this. I think as long as the information is out there, as long as it is stored on a server and is accessible, it's going to be put to use.
Well, it's certainly been an interesting week in the world of cybersecurity, and we've been talking with a cyber expert, Mark Wergler, who is Chief Senior Security Researcher at the security firm Immunity. And Mark, it's been a very interesting conversation. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thank you.
And for more information, you can go to our website, or to hear this segment in its entirety. If you missed part of it, you can go to our website at WESA.FM. Coming up, part one of a two-part series on nonprofits. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.